الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the things that people work very hard for is trying to get to a stage in their life where they can lead the quote-unquote good life. Right? People want to be in a state where they are in comfort, a state where they don't really have to worry about day-to-day things, a state where they don't really have to work that hard. Because it seems for many, right, there's an aversion to really digging into the trenches and putting a lot of effort. And even when people do put a lot of effort, really sometimes the only reason that they put in that much effort is because they don't want to do that later. Right? There's supposedly light at the other side of the tunnel, where there will be a time where you can relax and things won't be so tough. And for many, for example, that's what gets them through medical school, or that's what gets them through a residency, or that's what gets them through undergrad, because they think that, okay, fine, I have to just write a 15-page paper, and I hate writing papers, but I'll do it because I need to get my degree, and when I get my degree, then it will get better. And then they get their first job, and then they say that, oh, you know, I don't enjoy working 10, 12 hours, but, you know, if I work really hard now for what and gain seniority, then I'll have a position where I won't have to put in that much time later, right? Then either I'll be getting more money, and I'll have more time, and then I can relax. So this aversion from really wanting to, you know, really dig in the trenches and work very hard, a part of it is this is human, and that's one of the reasons why Jannah is so attractive. That's one of the reasons why Jannah is so attractive, is because that's a place of total raha. That's a place of total comfort and ease and relaxation. Because, you know, no matter how rich you are, and no matter how much you own, and no matter how far you go in the dunya, you still have to work. Right, your body will still have to work. It still has to digest the food. You'll still have to pick up the food and put it in your mouth. Right, you still have to walk. There's some things, parts of just being human and living in the dunya that you can't get away with. It's just part of our own humanity. But the place of ultimate comfort, the place of ultimate ease, is Jannah. And so that speaks to that, you know, sense of a desire for comfort. But one of the things that wreaks havoc on people's life is when this desire for comfort overcomes them to the point where it paralyzes them. I'll give you a very practical example. For some people, they have such an aversion from working hard that they don't study hard in school. And because of that, they flunk one class, they flunk two classes, they get D's in their class, they don't do good, and later on it gets them into a lot of trouble. Then they end up putting so much more time later. You take the person, for example, who's memorizing Quran. He says, well, I'm going to take it easy today, I'm going to take it easy tomorrow, I'm going to take it easy the next day. And then what happens is he finishes the Quran, or she finishes the Quran, and now you have 10 times more work than you had the first time. Now you have to do your regular work, and then you have to do your revision, and then you're just playing catch-up. So sometimes this desire for comfort and taking things, you know, taking it easy, really paralyzes a person and has terrible ramifications for them in their life. And especially for the person who's trying to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to, in some senses, strike this word from, you know, a person's dictionary. Because if you want to really achieve the high maqams in the akhirah, then you just have to work hard. There is a, and this is one of the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually made dua for. Right? A lot of people don't know this, but this is one of the things that he actually made a khas dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he wanted to be saved from kasal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal. He sought refuge from laziness. Not that Rasulullah would ever be lazy, right? But that's a way of teaching the ummah the importance of hard work. We are a nation, we are a people that have always honored hard work. Even if a person, for example, and I'll tell you, one of the worst things that can happen is not to have anything to do. People think that if I have nothing to do, then my life will be great. But you will be so surprised, you'll be so surprised that if you really have nothing to do, how torturous that is. Right? And a simple example of that, right? Who is the person who has absolutely nothing to do in the dunya? The closest that you get to having nothing to do. So you're thinking, I wonder who it must be. I wonder if it's that billionaire or this billionaireess or this heiress of some great estate. Who is the person who has the least amount to do? One of the people who has the least amount to do in the dunya is the person who's in solitary in prison. He has nothing to do. He has nothing to look at. He has no one to talk to. He has no work to do. He has no responsibilities. He's just sitting there, right, with nothing to do. But everyone agrees that that's not enjoyable. That's not comfort. Everyone will say that, well, that's a punishment. Right? Everyone says that's a punishment. People don't look forward to that. They say that it's something to run away from. So if a person becomes too enamored with this ideal of taking it easy, right, looking for the path of least resistance and trying to just get away with not working hard, then there's a very big pitfall, because sometimes people fall into this, this exact thing that I'm talking about, and they live much of their life as a punishment, right? I mean, if some people actually, one of two things either happens. Either the person wrecks their life and ends up working harder, which is usually the case. And sometimes when people actually do get by somehow and squeak by, and they don't have anything to do, then they find that it's not as satisfying, right? That it's not satisfying. When a person works, right, and puts in a hard day's work, there is a certain amount of satisfaction you will have in your heart. There's a certain amount of feeling of self-respect, right, that you will have when you look inside that, you know, I'm at least some person who is, I'm at least human, right? When a person is slovenly, when a person has sloth, when a person has apathy, then a person eventually starts to lose respect for themselves, because that's not a respectable person, right? That's a lazy person, right? If you're always dependent on others and, you know, a leeching off the system, and this is one of the maladies that has afflicted en masse Muslims, partially maybe here in the United States, but throughout the world, because they just don't want to work, right? They want easy money, they want easy life, they want easy success, quote unquote. But you know, what people don't realize is success and a good life doesn't necessarily come with just the creature comforts. It comes with, you know, the opportunity to do something that you love, to do it passionately, and to do it well. There is enjoyment in that, right? And if a person is so caught up in just trying to get to some point of station or some, you know, time in their life where there's just nothing to do, they're going to miss the whole ride, right? We are all on a ride, and when you're actually driving and you're working, there are things to be enjoyed. So a person shouldn't allow that to pass them by, and a person should also realize that there is what we call ladhatul amal. There is a joy in working, right? A joy in working. And actually, this is one of the best protections from staying away from those things which are haram, is to keep yourself so busy. Our Shaykh would say that you should be so busy, that you should be falling asleep before your head hits the pillow, right? There's some people who have so much time that they're lying there thinking, oh man, I didn't do anything today, and they can't even go to sleep at night. Your head should, you know, you should be almost asleep before your head hits the pillow. That's how hard you work, is what he would say. And there's really, at least in this day and age, there's a lot of hikmah in that. There's a lot of hikmah in that. So a person shouldn't feel bitter. A person shouldn't feel angry that, why do I have to work so hard? Look at that person, right? He doesn't have to work so hard. He got everything on a silver spoon. Understand that even the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us in a situation where we're working hard and we have to work hard is also a ni'mah. Right? A person shouldn't step back and be afraid of challenge. When the person came begging, how did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do, right? He took him to the market, they auctioned the thing off, they bought an axe, and he took him to the forest and what, right? And taught him to cut wood and sell it in the market, right? Roughly, that's how the story goes. Very important lesson there. Because when a person is begging, you're becoming dependent on someone else. And you know, an easy way to think about this, I mean, people say, well, I don't beg. But if you are a part of a system and you're not contributing to the advancement of that system, then in one way you're taking a toll on the system. If you're at work and you expect everyone else to do the work, right, and then you're just going to sort of take it easy and slide by and do the least amount necessary, then you're basically, you know, relying on someone else. That is also a type of dependency. We want to be givers, not takers. If you're in school and your teachers are teaching you, if you can contribute to your school, you can contribute to your field, contribute to whatever you are and move things forward, then you're not leeching off the system, you're actually giving to the system. But to do that actually requires a lot of work. For many people, it's hard enough just to keep up with school, much less read something extra on the topic or do some extra studying. But that's how you really get ahead. The reason I bring up this whole concept of putting effort and working hard and being very careful about being lazy is because this is one of the biggest things that stops or retards progress in being righteous. Why is that? Because when a person is too lazy to do anything, they do nothing. When a person is too lazy to do anything, they do nothing. And when you're doing nothing, it's very hard to advance. Right? Then it becomes salah, becomes a chore, you know, reading Quran becomes a chore, everything becomes a chore. There's no forward progress. A person should have a fire inside them. They have to have a passion inside them. And they should embrace hard work. When if a person comes to this with, you know, with this attitude to the floor, you will be surprised at how, you don't, you know, someone had said that the world is full of, you know, people who are genius but derelicts. Meaning there's so many people who are so smart and so talented and so capable, but they'd never accomplish anything in life. And this is what does people in, right? That they're scared of hard work. But there are people who are not so talented, not so capable, but they just fight the good fight, right? They just work hard every day, and then they get somewhere. And I've perhaps given this story in the past about the person who was given one of the great awards in Pakistan, and someone had asked him that, no, you had achieved such a thing, you must be in science, right? So you must be so smart or something like this. And he said, no, I'm not smart. And they're like, no, you are smart. And he said, no, I'm not smart. And he said, I just work hard. And they're like, everyone works hard, but not everyone, you know, gets such a great honor. And he says, no, you don't understand. He said, when I read, like, for example, a chemistry book, perhaps it was, he says, you know, a normal person would read it once, if that. Right, I mean, today's college students don't even read the book, right? They just go off the notes, right? Or the cliff notes or whatever and just try to get by. He would read the book and he said, I didn't understand it the first time. So I went back and read the whole thing. And I did that 7 times. 7 times he actually read the book. And that's what it meant to work hard. You know, I'm reminded of the story of, you know, when I first started my Islamic studies, you come in with a lot of, you know, arrogance, and you're coming from like a Western academic background. You say, oh, I'm just going to blaze through this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really humbles you. And so I was in one of the early primers in fiqh. And I was really struggling. I just couldn't do it. It was really hard. And then I heard a story which was really inspiring for me. And it was about a person who was, I think, doing one of the early kitabs, and he had done it like, you know, 6-7 times, the same kitab, he did it again and again and again, and he just couldn't get it. It was so difficult. So he said, I'm just giving up. So he was going away, and then he saw a little ant. Right? An ant caught his eye, and the ant was trying to move a little crumb up a hill to put it into, you know, like the ant hill. So they know they store food and whatnot. And as he was bringing it up, the crumb would roll off it and roll down the hill. Then it went back and it picked it up and tried to take it in. And they did this whole thing 8 times, right? And still was not successful. But then it went back the 9th time, right? And it picked it up and it took it all the way to the top and it was able to drop it in. So then he took inspiration from that and he said, if the ant is willing to try it 9 times, I'm going to try it 9th time too. So he went back, alhamdulillah, and then when he put that effort that time, alhamdulillah, Allah granted him success. So the idea, all of these are just to underscore the fact that we should work hard. Now, many people, they accept this. They said, yes, I want to work hard, but I don't know how to get rid of laziness, right? I don't know how to get this laziness, this inertia out of my life, right? There's so much friction for me to put any type of effort. I'm so given to, just having fun and not doing things which are, require hard work or effort, that I don't know what to do, right? Where do I get the passion from? Where do I put the fire underneath me to do something? Well, there's two things to this. The one thing is positive and one thing is negative. The thing that is positive is that a person should try to create something what we call in Arabic, shauq. Shauq is like enjoyment, right? Pleasure in something. When you enjoy something, it's very easy to be passionate about it, and it's very easy to work hard. I'll give you an example. Many young men are very into sports. You can put them on the court for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and they will hustle like you can't believe. And they'll put their body in danger like you can't believe. And they will do it, and they'll do it gladly with a smile on their face, and then they go home feeling great that they worked hard. Because they enjoyed every single minute that they were on the court. So when a person enjoys something, it becomes easy. The idea is that we have to start enjoying the deen. So now a person asks, well, then how do I enjoy the deen? Right? Because I don't enjoy the deen. Right? Salah is difficult, zikr is difficult, everything is difficult. I don't know how to enjoy the deen. We know that enjoyment exists with the deen. This is what we call halawatul iman, the sweetness of faith. There is enjoyment in it. So it's a long topic. It's probably another topic for another day. But one advice is the more that one avoids sin, and the more that one avoids the dunya, the more that they are able to enjoy the deen. It's like a reciprocal relationship. The more you immerse yourself in dunya, sometimes even permissible things in the dunya, the harder it is to really take pleasure from the deen. So that was the positive side. And on the negative side, a person needs to cancel out something what we call tulul amal. Tulul amal is what we call long hopes. This thinking or this psychology that I have a lot of time, I have a lot of time, is something which wreaks havoc on an individual. When you are, if someone's watched like a sports game, if it's the first quarter, right? Even if you're down by 10, people aren't panicking because they said it's still the second quarter, still the third quarter. But when there's 2 minutes left in the game, when there's 20 seconds left in the game, even if there's a 2-point differential, everyone is sweating bullets. They're so scared, right? Their heart is about to come outside their body because there's only 20 seconds left in the game. The problem that with people is they think that they're only in the first quarter of their life, right? They don't think that it's the last 20 seconds or the last second, right? They think that, well, I'll have time. They don't think that they have to make a buzzer beater now. They think, oh, there'll be time. This is what we call tulul amal. It comes in the Quran. Dharhum, leave them. Ya'kulu wa yatamatta'u. Let them eat whatever they want. They're eating out, having a good time, going out with friends, socializing. Kulu wa tamatta'u, having a good time. Tamatta'u is like taking pleasure. Kulu wa eating and having a good time, right? Having a blast. وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ And their long hopes, this whole, these long plans, I mean, I have so much time, this and that. This is something that misleads them. فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ They will know one day. They're going to know. So, Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, is actually very scary what he writes. He says a person who even thinks that he has breathed one breath right now, if he thinks that he will live to breathe another, that is sinful. And ultimately, we don't know. But we all live like that. We all expect that we're going to take the next breath. We all expect that we're going to fast the next Ramadan. We all expect that we're going to pray Isha, right? It's Maghrib time and we're thinking we're going to pray Isha. This is a tacit expectation. And the reason that he says this is actually quite deep. He says the reason that this is sinful is because you are passing judgment on something that's unseen. That next breath is the future. Does anyone know the future? No one. So if you think that you're doing that, then you're passing a verdict that I'm going to live until that time, and you don't know if you are. And he says the same thing for you. So, and then he says, like, if you are in that category, you'll consider an amil, a person who has long hopes, even if you're thinking that you're going to live for another second. And he says there's two types of people with long hopes. There's the general people with long hopes, and there's the people with special people with long hopes. And you know, there's these general category of people with long hopes. Generally, they have these long hopes of, you know, I'm going to do this in the dunya, and I'm going to become, you know, I'm going to get my master's, I'm going to get my PhD, then I'm going to become the chair of, I'm going to become a professor, and then assistant, associate, chair of the department. That, I mean, people have these long career goals. People have these long, I'm going to, you know, buy this many bedroom house, and I'm going to upgrade to this many square feet. Eventually, I'm going to drive this type of car. So people have all these things planned out. Right, these long hopes. And then even people who make their hopes that, you know, I'm going to do this good deed, I'm going to do that good deed, I'm going to do that good deed. He said, even this is not okay. Because you don't know if you will. Who knows if you are going to or you're not going to. What a person should do, and this is what Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi's advice is, he says you should make a good niyyah. You should make the right niyyah with the understanding that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring it to pass if He gives you life. Because you don't know if it's going to happen. You need Allah's tawfiq, you need His rida. I mean, I'm adding a little bit from my side. But this is a general thing. This is something which is in a person's control. So even with our good deeds, we don't know if we're going to have a chance to do them. And that's why you have to live life like carpe diem. You have to seize the day. You have to seize the moment. When a person cancels, so the positive thing, what do we say? That you have to have passion. And the negative thing, you have to cut out these long hopes and make every moment count. This is a way to get a lot more bang from your buck from both a dunya perspective and an akhirah perspective. I'm telling you, like, these principles, this is a recipe for success, whether you apply it to the dunya or you apply it to the akhirah. I mean, we're children of the Akhirah, so of course we're going to apply it for the sake of the Akhirah. But this Tul al-Amal is really scary. This is, what he said, Man khafa, I think it was Dawud Ta'i, rahimahullah, he said, Man khafa al-wa'id qarub al-ba'id. That whoever fears the warning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which is far becomes close. And then, meaning that whatever is the akhirah, right, it will become close. And he'll think that, oh, it's coming right now. It's going to happen in a long time. وَمَنْ طَالَ أَمَلُهُ It's like a play on words. Amal is with an alif, right? سَاءَ عَمَلُهُ عَيْن Amal is long hopes, and amal is action. So whoever's hopes become very long, his actions become very bad. Right. It's much more poetic in Arabic. Ali radiallahu anhu, what did he say? He says, إِنَّ أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ إِثْنَان That the thing that I fear most for you, from the things that I fear are two. Right? And one of the things that he mentioned was, one was اتِّبَاءُ الْهَوَى following one's desires. And the first thing that he mentioned even before that was tulul amal, right? This long hopes. And he actually gave the reasoning later on in his qawl, right? Aw kama qal. He said that because tulul amal yansa al-akhirah. Aw kama qal. He says this is something that makes a person forget the akhirah. So, how do you bring passion into your... So there's a positive and a negative. The positive is to bring passion. How do you bring passion? Is to disconnect yourself from the dunya and to leave sin. And the negative is to cut off long hopes. And how do you cut off long hopes? Is to make the most of every moment and to remember death. Right? These two things are very effective in cutting out these long hopes. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who are able to put solid effort consistently, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us pleasure in working hard and not make us amongst those who are lazy. And may He give us the passion, the drive, the focus that is required to achieve success both in this life and the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.